Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Here on the midweek edition of The Yard, I elected to push back till Thursday. And we'll be back tomorrow, too, because we just didn't have much to talk about yesterday. I was like, you know, I'd rather wait. And let's play the game or recap the game. Give us more to talk about. Plus, give us a chance to savor victory, right? If we waited to Friday, it'd be, you know, a segment. And now it's, you know, we dedicate ourselves to how well the Bulldogs are playing. Bulldogs have now won 8 of 9. Let that sink in for a second. Now, the first thing that I want to say about every bit of this, it's always good to beat Ole Miss. That said, it's an RPI boost for us last night. Now we're 24. In the RPI, and you start thinking, you get into the teens, and you certainly can, all of a sudden you start thinking about some postseason baseball at Mississippi State. And I'll be honest with you guys, I didn't expect that. I thought we'd be, hey, we'd be kind of grinding this thing out, we'd be in a tournament, be a 2 seed somewhere, and we still may be. But I'm just so glad that the conversation has shifted from we're terrible and need to fire our coach to, hey, Mississippi State's in a position to host. You got even Kendall Rogers, the guy that you guys inundate with questions on Twitter about will State host. I don't know if you guys know this, but I think we've hosted, what, 4 times in 20 years? I mean, the way some of our fans act, you think it would be, you know, it's an every-year deal. You know, it's not like it used to be. You know, nowadays, it's given on merit. Used to, it was given on who had big ballparks, can sell a bunch of tickets, and, you know. And so it's a different dynamic these days. And, yeah, we've had some success, but, man, wouldn't it be great? And you start thinking, too, even if we don't host, if we go on the road, we're going to be going up against one of the weaker 1 seeds, which means we'd probably see a top 8 national seed in a super. But one game at a time. One game at a time. And listen, I get it. It's weird to me that some people are miserable when we win a baseball game. I don't understand that. I had a conversation on Facebook earlier, and I get it. You know, I get it. You know, sometimes I'm just kind of asking for trouble when I enter those conversations. But guys, you know, well, we should never hired this guy. It's been crap ever since we hired him. I said, I can't begin to imagine the turmoil you must have endured when we won the NAFL championship. You know, it's nuts. I mean, it truly, truly, truly is. It's nuts. It is. Sports are supposed to be for our entertainment and our enjoyment. And if you're not enjoying baseball season this year, it's your own fault. Bulldogs are now 30-15, 15 games over 500. 5th in the SEC. And of course, the caveat, but Steve, if we had won this, yeah, it's true. You could say that every year. But compared to what we've gone through, we're heading in the right direction. Are we at our expectations? No. No, we're not. But we're trending in that direction. You take 2 or 3 this weekend, all of a sudden you're, and that's against an Alabama team, I believe it's 14 or 15 in the RPI. That probably pulls you in the top 20. Headed to Arkansas, number 2 ranked team in the country. It's going to be tough to go up there and win the series, but our RPI improves just by playing them. But if you go up there and get a game, and I hate to say 2, I'm not expecting that, you're going to maintain. got a really good chance to play your way into a hosting opportunity. But again, one game at a time. So let's take a few moments here and celebrate our win over Ole Miss. Before we do, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. I love Bulldog Burger Company. I love them more than a friend. I'm going to encourage you to get to know them better than you already do. Go put your feet under their table. Let them feed you. It's a great atmosphere, great service, great food at a great price. Not everybody can say that these days, right? Sometimes you're kind of trading, you know, service for quality of cuisine or vice versa. Not at Bulldog Burger Company. It's a total package. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Star Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. The world needs more of that. I've seen a bunch of before and after pictures. It's true. You can trust the science. Get that chocolate shake to go. I'm kind of partial to the Nutella shake, unless they've got a special shake. If they have a special shake, I tend to go that direction because it's kind of a limited time deal, right? I can't just go in there every time and get that. And so I love being able to kind of enjoy the specials too. So many great things to choose from there. The great restaurant quality hamburgers, one of the fine delicacies in life we afford ourselves. It's time that you treated yourself to a great meal at Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. All right, I was in Pearl. I'm also on the back end of a cold. So if I sound a little bit different, and maybe it's just all this pollen that's in the air, I think it was probably a little bit more than that. But if I sound a little different, or if I have to take a break every now and again, you'll understand why. So, you know, one of the things I've learned about life too, is, when you have that cold, you get those, the symptoms are kind of sitting in on you. Man, there's nothing better than getting that bottle of water, because you need to hydrate anyway. But then when you're sick, your body needs it even more. And I got home last night from Pearl, and it's a wonder. I was on cold medication, and coming down 82, it's probably good I didn't pass the state trooper. I mean, honestly, honest to goodness. I was tired. And I was ready to get home. And I got home and I got a big old cold bottle of Propel. And it was the most enjoyable part of my day, save the ball game, just to have that. So a little travel and tip for you. All right, let's get to work here on this Ole Miss-Mississippi State game. Now, Pico Kon, his best outing of the year. He works deeper, works longer. Goes four innings, gives up the little solo tank, and it was a fluke. Let's just kind of call it for what it is. It was. But he strikes out five, doesn't walk any. Pico could be a big part of things down the stretch, especially like you start thinking about a regional. You'd love to be able to sweep a regional, but you're almost asking a bit much. And so you've got to have somebody else that can be that good fourth pitcher for you. Good chance that's Pico Kon. And I also like to have a lefty in the mix anyway. I think we've done a pretty good job, recruiting-wise, going out and getting some lefties. Because, if you don't have guys that can match up, people will stack up an order against you. Again, I love the whole idea of, you start the right-hander, and so they stack the order with lefties, and you bring in Pico. Like we used to do with Ross Mitchell, and he just chews up those left-handers. I love it. Love that strategy. I love it. All right, Pico gets off to a good start. He gets Ross to strike out swinging. Extended count there, but did not give in. And Pico is a very competitive kid, too. I don't know if you guys know this. Like when you're around him, he's really soft-spoken, doesn't say a whole lot. But, man, when he's on that mound, it's a different dude. It is. Gives up the single to Fisher there on the second at bat of the ball game, and then Ethan Leger, and I'm going to give you an update on him. He got hit by a pitch later in this ball game. We'll get to that. I was told post game that Mike Bianco addressed that and said he's going to have X-rays. Now, I give Ole Miss absolutely no quarter, ever, but you hate to see a young man get injured. You do. We hope he makes a full recovery. But the fact that they're going to have to do x-rays, it is concerning, right? And he has been their leading hitter, the only guy they got hitting above 300. So that stinks. So we wish Ethan Leger the best And, basically these guys are getting Hoover. But nevertheless, I just wanted to get that out of the way while I was thinking about it. So, yeah, x-rays when they got back to Oxford, which makes it sound like it's probably more than a bruise. You know, of course, you don't know for sure until you see the x-rays, but we certainly hope they're negative. All right, and then Fisher got it swung it pretty well for Ole Miss this year. He's on base when Leger hits the fielder's choice. We nearly get two here. Can't get it done. Leger didn't steal second. But we get Will Furness to strike out swinging. That lefty-on matchup with Furness is tough, man. Like, we talk about the lefty-lefty matchup is tough on anybody. Guys, Will Furness missed that slider by a foot and a half. It was terrible. Good job by Pico. All right, bottom of one. Bryce Chance back hitting leadoff again on a 1-2 count. He flies out to right field. And you notice he's trying to go the other way a lot lately. You need some guys like that. Bryce just needs to get a couple of hits under his belt because he's hitting the ball. It's actually pretty nuts when you think about what a great job Bryce does putting the ball in play. He really does. Mershon then grounds out the short. DJ comes up. DJ had a good night. DJ did not have a good weekend against Georgia, but I thought he had a much more mature and polished approach last night. Instead of thinking about the round trippers, let's just go hit a baseball hard somewhere. He gets a single back up the middle, and then Hines singles to center, and I thought that ball may be caught initially. Pretty good job of running a little bit of a deke out there to keep Jordan from, you know, taking third, but kind of one hops him out there. So back-to-back hits, and then Hizak walks. We have the bases loaded. And a chance to really get some separation early in this ball game, and unfortunately, Imani flies out to right field. You know, you get a ball down there, it's a different ball game, especially in the early going. All right, Pico back out for the second. Hill grounds out to short, and I'm just going to say it for what it is. This Hill kid, do you remember when he transferred in the portal? And everybody lost their minds. This guy's been a disappointment, man. He has been. Played some at short, couldn't get it done, moved him to second. Not swinging it well. There's a lot of times people get all fired up because they see a guy transferring from a blue blood and think, well, they'll probably fit in here. This hadn't worked out. Ethan Groff, a guy that Mississippi State did not offer out of the portal, despite some rumors to the contrary from some of our fake insiders. Groff ends up at Ole Miss. He's down in the order these days, but flies out to short center field. Mershon runs it down. And then Uttermark on a 3-1 count. Homers to left field. And off the bat, it was kind of like that, not quite like that Leniv home run at Vanderbilt, but you just didn't know that it was out. It's kept drifting and drifting and drifting. It gets out, and it counts. No matter how far it traveled, it's over the fence. It's a 1-0 ball game for Ole Miss. Burgston pops up to Ethan Pulliam in short right field. All right, bottom of second. State goes 1-2-3. Kohler strikes out looking. Pulliam flies out to right. Powell flies out to right center. I thought Joe had a couple good at-bats last night and certainly on Sunday against Vanderbilt. All right, top of third. Burford flies out to Mershon in short center. There was a lot of that last night. Not a lot of solid contact for Ole Miss. Rawson singles to left field. Fisher reaches on a fielder's choice. This is one here. The ground ball goes to first, and it just wasn't hit hard enough for us to turn two. And then Leger strikes out swinging. So we head to the home half here. We had stayed down 1-0 and just trying to get something going. And it felt like we had a chance. Kind of crazy how it all works out. But Chance strikes out swinging, a real rarity there. Mershon flies out to left. Jordan singles to the left side. So now it's 2-for-2 night. And then Hines fouls out to the catcher. Now, you didn't see this on television, but Chris Lemonis was correct. The ball hit the net at the top. Now, the video cameras, of course, are watching the player, but the ball did hit the net. But there was not enough video evidence to overturn it. So the call stands. Wasn't confirmed because the ball did, in fact, hit the net, but there's not much you can do. It's right up there at the top. It's basically the same level as a press box. We could see it. It was apparent to us, but hey, what do you do? All right, we get into the fourth here. Last inning for Pico. He gets Furness to strike out swinging. Hill grounds out to first unassisted on a 2-0 count. Then Ethan Groff singles to the left side. And Uttermeyer goes down swinging. And that's the day for Pico. He leaves down 1-0. But, again, encouraged by that. You know, he had the good start against Alcorn State. It wasn't so good against Memphis, but it was really good against Ole Miss. State gets the leadoff runner on here. And it's like, it's so crazy, too. Like, we had so many opportunities in these middle innings to not only get the lead, but to really get some separation here. So Hizak centers to the left side. Larry then fouls out to first. Kohler flies out to right. And then Hizak goes to second when they throw it away. And Pulliam grounds out to second base. So we get the leadoff guy on, and we get nothing out of it. Now, we put all his balls in play, but we got nothing out of it. So it's still a 1-0 ball game headed to the fifth. Carson Ligon comes on for the Bulldogs. Birch strikes out swinging. Burford strikes out looking. We walk Ross. We got up ahead in that count, 1-2. And I thought we nibbled a little bit too much there. We end up walking him, and then Fisher grounds out the second. So it's kind of inconsequential. But you'd like to be able to finish the hitter there. They bring in Gunnar Dennis in place of Sonier. And this poor kid from Sonia, he's pitched well in two Governor's games and really got nothing to show for it. Powell singles through the left side. Chance flies out to center. Marshawn flies out to right. And then DJ, again, just putting the ball in play. I mean, just putting it in there. Singles through the left side. That moves Powell to second. Heinzen comes through with a single to left center, working the other way, showing a more mature approach. They want to shift right. That's cool. We'll just hit it left. And he's done that routinely here the last few weeks. Maybe routinely is too strong a word, but you're starting to see him take that pitch the other way. He does here. Powell comes in to score to tie the ball game. Like to keep the rally going here, but Hizak pops up to short. So we're done through five now, and it's a tie ball game 1-1. So
Wayfair's Labor Day clearance is here. Right now, score up to 70% off everything home, plus fast shipping on everything right to your door. Shop now through September 2nd at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
We get into the sixth, and this is when Ethan Leger gets hit by the pitch. Again, you hate that. He does stay in the ball game. The first pitch nearly hits him. Second one does. He takes first, remains in the game. Furness and grounds into a double play. 4-6-3 variety there. We walk Hill. Schulke comes in for Ligon and gets Ethan Groff to ground out to second base. All right, so 1-1 headed to the bottom of six. They bring in J.T. Quinn, not to be confused with J.T. Ginn, in place of Gunnar Dennis, and Hughes enters the game in place of Leger. And again, you hate to see it. Imani Larrington singles right back up the middle. Good at bat for him, too. Kohler grounds to short, and the only play is to first, so Imani takes second. So here again, leadoff runner gets on. We get him to second. Runner in scoring position, less than two outs. However, we couldn't do anything with it. Pulliam grounds out to third. We were able to get Larry to third, and then Powell strikes out swinging on a full count there. And we get ahead in that count 3-1, and just couldn't do anything with that. But, again, another opportunity for Bulldogs to get some separation. We don't cash in there. We go to the seventh here. Uttermark strikes out swinging. Bergson strikes out looking. They pinch hit Randall for Burford here, and he walks. And you're going to see a lot of people do that, try to get lefties in there against Kim Schulke. Kind of eliminate some of that sidearm action. Randall gets the walk, and then Ross walks. So rather than have them him pitch to the left-hander Fisher, we bring in Davis. And TD comes in and gets a punch out swinging. And one of the things I like about Tyler Davis, when Tyler Davis is on, which has been with greater regularity here as of late, he attacks hitters. He doesn't go up there and nibble. He doesn't throw batting practice. He attacks. Throws the breaking ball for a strike and is able to get some swing and miss. And that keeps people off the fastball too. But really good situation there as TD gets us out of the inning without any damage and keeps the game tied at one. A lot of defensive changes for Ole Miss in the seventh, but Josh Mowitz comes in place of JT Quinn and immediately gives up a single to Bryce Chance. And it's good to say, I think that's Bryce's first hit as the leadoff hitter. Singles to center field. And Mershon, it's a wild play here. He hits it right on the screws, but right at Furness, and he's able to tag Chance. You know, it's a game of inches, right? Another foot either way, that thing's probably a double down in the corner. And who knows how far Chance could have run. But great play by Furness, tip of the cap there. But just tough luck for your Bulldogs. So Jordan comes up to swing with an empty bases and goes strikes out on three pitches. The only at bat you look at and say, man, you wish you'd had that one back. All right, headed to the eighth. Hughes comes up in Legge's spot and flies out to right field. He had one foul ball, guys. It was an absolute murder. Oh, my gosh, he ripped that ball to left, but it was foul. Just a little bit out in front. When it left the bat, kind of held my breath a little bit. But you get him to fly out, and Inferno strikes out swinging. Hill strikes out swinging. So they bring in Morris in place of Mowitz, and the Bulldogs, you know, probably happy to see him, I guess, a little bit. Hines strikes out swinging, lengthy at bat there. But he does get the punch out. And then Hizak is hit by the pitch in the helmet. No harm done. He goes out there. And this is a crazy play here. So it's a wild pitch. And the catcher, for some reason, is reluctant to go get it. I mean, it's not like the guy on deck is going to kick it to you. But nevertheless, Hizak never checks up on the play and goes all the way around to third. And then the throw to third nearly gets in the left. It really wasn't a competitive throw in that respect. But that's an embarrassing thing. Yeah, wild pitches are going to happen. But you can't let a guy take two bases. It was huge. And I think that rattled the pitcher a little bit too. It really did. Larry walks on four pitches. They pull Morris and bring in Rodriguez. Kind of a wild play here too. Kohler, they're playing the shift here. And so they're back a little bit, and I think in many respects it kind of impedes their ability to turn a double play. This ball was not hit especially hard. Kind of a slow roller in some respects, maybe a medium roller. But it gets out there. There's just not a lot of room here and not a lot of time. And so the third baseman fields it, who's basically playing shortstop. They force the runner at second. They can't get the play at first. So Hizak scores as a result. And again, how many times have we talked about it recently? Hunter Hines, Dakota Jordan beating those those outside at first base. And here's Kohler doing the same thing. Attitudes are contagious. All right, they bring in Sam Tukin. I'm going to mispronounce it. But anyway, not a good night for him. Pulliam singles to center field and really hit that ball well. Moves Kohler to second. Powell and walks. Base is loaded here for the third time in the ballgame for us. And this time we come through with a little assistance here. Sam walks Bryce Chance, forces in the run. They bring in Carmack try to get out of the jam, and on an 0-1 pitch, Dave Mershon doubles to right center, driving two more runs to make it 5-1. DJ then grounds out to third. So Bulldogs had four runs in the inning, just kind of blown this thing open. So you get to the ninth, bring in Tyson Harden, and, you know, you could have just rode with Davis here, but it's probably best you don't. You know, it's a short week for us because we play on Wednesday. You'd like to use TD this weekend. We remember we had the game at Samford, and the next thing you know, we didn't have it at Florida. Bring in Tyson Harden, and I think you got to get him used to that too, him coming in the ninth. But Harden gets Groff to pop up to short left field. Mershon runs it down. Uttermark singles back up the middle. They pinch hit here, bring in Smithwick, and he walks. And so now all of a sudden you're thinking, can we just get the game over? They pinch hit Lyons, and he strikes out looking. And then Ross strikes out looking on three pitches to end the game. So Tyson Harden, not a save situation, but it's good to see him go out there in the ninth and get some outs, and especially with a couple strikeouts. But you don't like that traffic on the bases in the ninth because you're going to have a lot of situations. You're going to be in one- and two-run ball games. But you had a little margin to work with here. So good win for the Bulldogs. Anytime we beat Ole Miss anything, it's a good thing. But also, too, Ole Miss, despite their record, is pretty strong in the RPI. Their strength of schedule, I think, is third in the country. And so we kind of benefit from that. And a lot of people that didn't want to play the game, I always want to play the game. We win the game, obviously. And so doesn't count in the SEC standings, does count in the overall standings. You're hitting the heroes from last night. Dakota Jordan goes 3-for-5. Doesn't score, doesn't drive in a run, but moves everything forward. Hunter Hines, 2-for-4 with an RBI. Connor Hyzak goes 1-for-2, also had a walk on the hit by pitch. I mean, it was 11 hits in the ballgame. We just couldn't string things together until we got to that one inning. There were so many opportunities. Again, I'm not going to sit here and pick apart a victory, especially one that we all felt like we had to have. But good effort from the Bulldogs. But to me, the thing that stands out is pitching. Now, granted, you're in a bigger ballpark, so you can be a little more aggressive, but Pico gives up the four hits and one the solo home run. As we mentioned, 5 Ks, no walks. Your Bulldog bullpen pitched the last 5 innings and allowed one hit, and that came in the ninth, with one out in the ninth in a 5-1 ballgame. So when there was a need for a meaningful hit for Ole Miss, they couldn't get it. And you remember how this bullpen got knocked around up in Oxford. So they kind of had a chip on their shoulder, and they came out and did a great job. Carson Ligon, 1.2 innings, no hits, no runs. Did have a couple walks, a couple punch-outs. Shulkey, similar. One inning, 2 walks, 2 Ks. Tyler Davis, your pitcher of record. Now 4-0 in the season, goes 1 1/3 with 3 strikeouts. He struck out 3 of the 4 hitters he faced. The other flew out. And Tyson Harden, of course, allows the one hit and the walk, but a couple punch-outs there. But, you know, it's a teachable moment in a game that you won. Those are the best games. You win, but you understand you could have and probably should have played better. I think that's very important. And so now you kind of move ahead. And now you begin to think about, okay, what's next for Mississippi State? And tomorrow we'll be back, and we'll preview the game against Alabama. There's a lot going on right here on this computer. But, you know, it's a significant win for us anytime that we win against Ole Miss. But because of the fact that their RPI was what it was, it added some value to the win. I want to take a moment, too, and talk about something that somebody passed on to me. And so I've kind of checked it out here. Do you guys know that Bryce Chance, of course, struck out last night. He struck out 10 times now on the year. That's it. But Bryce Chance is the 11th most difficult player in all of college baseball to strike out. You simply can't strike him out. Now, he had 8. I guess he had 7 entering the weekend. He struck out a couple times over the weekend and then had 1 last night. Because he struck out 10 times in 145 at-bats. Let that sink in for a second. 10 times. And so it kind of makes sense. You start looking at this whole leadoff thing as, you know, hey, let's get a guy up there that's going to put the ball in play for us. Maybe Bryce Chance is better than a lot of people expected. And maybe Bryce Chance is better than even some of our fans give him credit for. But that's pretty crazy when you think about it. We talked about how Luke Hancock was so difficult to strike out. you're kind of seeing the same thing from Bryce Chance. He's gotten to be a really good player as far as like fouling pitches off, spoiling pitches. If he doesn't get what he wants, rather than him taking the other pitch for a strike, he's got quick enough hands and pitch recognition, he can foul that ball off and make him throw another one. You saw that on Sunday against Vanderbilt. Lengthy at bat for him and Dave Marchand. And so now all of a sudden you think about Dave Marchand probably leads this team in pitches faced this year. You got two guys at the top of the order now have the ability to kind of grind the pitcher down within an inning and allow Dakota Jordan, those guys, have a chance to hit against a guy that's maybe showing a little bit of fatigue. That's an interesting dynamic to every bit of this. And just so you guys know, just because I know that you care, Bryce Chance, the most difficult hitter in the Southeastern Conference to strike out. Yeah, there's a lot of teams out there playing baseball. You know, let that sink in. You know, there is no D2 baseball. I mean, there's no 1AA baseball, right? I mean, there's no FCS baseball. We're all lumped in here together. And Bryce Chance, 11th in the country. It's nuts, man. I mean, it absolutely is absolutely nuts to think about that. And I don't know that we've really appreciated that enough. That's something to really watch. You know, we talk about the game within the game. I got guys out there that put the ball in play for me. That's significant, very significant. I'm just kind of, you know, perusing through this list right now. Guys, there's nobody in the SEC close to Bryce. Matt Gussetti, who we'll see this weekend, is 38th. Jack Caglione, Superman, as we like to call him, 40th. But let that sink in for a second. The toughest guy in this conference, considered the toughest baseball conference in America, the toughest guy to strike out is on your team. How cool is that? All right, time for today's top 10 list is always brought to you by Close with Blair. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler is a mortgage professional. You probably heard about Blair from your friends and neighbors. And a lot of people don't like to talk about their mortgage. But, you know, when you say, hey, who did you go with? If you're in the central Mississippi area, it's probably Blair Chandler. And Blair's licensed to practice in many states. And so if you are a person that's looking to refinance a home, buy a home, perhaps get a game day condo, it's always a nice idea. Blair's the way to go. Bulldog through and through. He lives and dies with every moment, just like you do. He does. I can personally attest. I get many a text from Blair during ball games. What are we going to do? You know, first inning. You know, what are we going to do? You know, we're going to be okay? Blair lives it and breathes it just like you do. But Blair is an equal opportunity lender. Doesn't matter who you cheer for. Blair's happy to work with you. So if you're just starting out in life or looking to reset life, let Blair work with you. 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Blair is a guy that's got season tickets in multiple sports. He's got 23 years of experience under his belt. Nobody stays in any industry 20-plus years by accident. Visit closewithblair.com today. All right, we have a special request. Now, we like to change it up every now and again, but Roy Samanti, my friend, saw Roy and his wife Missy in Memphis last week. We went and covered a ball game up there. Won a ball game up there. How about that? It's true. It's true. So he reached out and said, hey, would you be willing to do a CZA list? CZA. It's spelled S-Z-A. It's great marketing because that's, if nothing else, you say, well, how do you pronounce that? Well, it's not really my thing, but both of my girls, Audrey and Mia, love CZA. Their younger brother, Ian, likes her too. So we're going to do a top 10 list. This is Elsa's list because she is the expert here. I did go out and ask my girls for some feedback about number one because we want to make sure we're representing each artist as well as we can. I don't have a lot of insight into these songs. This will be a shorter segment than normal, and not to mention I haven't started the Bon Jovi documentary yet, and so I'd like to spend some time doing that today. So we're going to get this done pretty quick here. All right. Number 10 on our list is Supermodel. Supermodel is number 10. Number 9, Special. I don't know how you feel about that, but special. Number 8 is Saturn. Number 7, Mia, my youngest daughter, who recently made a great score on the LSAT and is already having some schools reach out about, hey, we'd love to have you come here. She said her favorite song is actually our number 7 song. So her and Elsa disagree. It's Normal Girl, number 7. Number 6, and probably something that we can all identify with, is Nobody Gets Me. I mean, I've spent much of my life being misunderstood. I think that is a very common experience as we all float around here on the third rock from the sun. Number 5 is All the Stars. That's actually a Kendrick Lamar song that features SZA. I don't know how you feel about Kendrick Lamar. I don't know. This modern-day rap game is not really something that I'm well-versed in. But I know that my kids like Kendrick Lamar. Every so often in our fam chat, we'll get to talk about this great diss track and that great diss track. And, you know, guys, nothing ever compares to what we saw back in the day, you know, with Ice-T and LL Cool J and Cool Moe Dee and those guys. And certainly when Ice Cube left NWA with no Vaseline. Number 4 on our list is Snooze. This is a cool little track here. It's basically, I don't want to sleep when I'm around you because I don't want to waste a minute. You know, I don't want to snooze when I'm around you because you're too important. It's a nice sentiment. I hope we all have somebody that feels that way about us. I don't know how you feel about life, but it's so interesting to me. I mean, I spend so much time working. It's basically all that I do. Watch rock documentaries, work, cover ball games, and that's work too. It's a cool job, but it's still a job. I don't get to sit around and watch Netflix all day, you know, and order in DoorDash. But, yeah, I like it when I get a chance to kind of recreate, kind of spend some time with the bride or others. I like to be able to get out and enjoy life. But it's, you know, all work and no play makes Steve a dull boy. And I'm pretty dull these days, I can promise you. All right, number 3, Kiss Me More. That's actually a Doja Cat song. Also featuring SZA. The bride likes Doja Cat. I don't have a lot of knowledge of this catalog, but I know that there is, you know, like a song will come on, I say, well, that's pretty catchy. Oh, that's Doja Cat. Don't you know that? No, I don't know that. No, I don't. I don't know that stuff. I don't judge it either. If you enjoy it, then you enjoy it. Number 2. And May All of Your Days Be Good Days is our number 2 song is Good Days, a track from SZA. You know, I used to live my life a certain way. And then when I got clean and sober, I used to say, I've never really had a bad day in my life. And as I've shared with you guys before, I just hadn't lived long enough. That's the naivety of youth. Like, if you think that everything is going to be okay. I'm an optimist by nature, but I also understand, too, that most days are just kind of regular days. And something my dad told me years ago is when I was in multi-store management, I was a district manager for a financial institution before I had all this hair. And he used to tell me, when you have those days when you don't have a bunch of people needing something, you know, the phone's not ringing off the hook, those are good days. You need to enjoy those days because they don't come around very often. And there is some truth in that. And it truly is. You know, we've had some interesting days here this week at Mississippi State. We've had some football players arrested. I mean, relatively minor charges. The DUI thing bothers me. It really does. You know, what you do in the comfort of your own home is your business. But when you are intoxicated and get behind the wheel of a car, you kind of make it everybody else's. But, yeah, I trust Jeff Levy will take care of all that stuff. That's his responsibility, not mine. But, you know, I have people all the time. Like, I'll stop you. I'm traveling a lot. And, you know, somebody will do something, you know, like they'll drop something, you know, or they'll tell you the wrong thing, a wrong total. And I've got kind of a habit, I guess, that when people say, hey, I'm sorry, I say, well, if that's the worst problem we have today, it's going to be a really good day. It reminds me, you know, there's so many days out there you look back in hindsight and you say, you know, that was a really good day and maybe I didn't fully appreciate it. I believe in living life to the fullest. I do. One of the things that irritates me in life is when I feel like I have to fake it. Because I don't like myself when I've got to fake it. You know, it's just like I think about the work that we do, you know. Instead of finding a way to kind of scam everybody, why don't we just do the job? Right? I mean, let's just do the job we're paid to do. Right? I mean, you know, we've had every baseball game on the road last week. I went to every one of them. Yeah, I don't expect to be patted on the back for all that stuff, but I just want the standards to apply uniformly. You know, that's how I feel about it. You know, this is my era. That's how I see it. This is my era. And I only got one shot at this. And so I'm going to do as much as I can to give you guys as much information as we possibly can. And sometimes that information's not always going to be positive. That's part of the deal. I'm not just here to talk about Mississippi State wins. I'm not a branch of the Mississippi State marketing department that I'm here to carry water for everybody. You know, I mean, listen, I'll play ball with anybody. But the reality of it is that, you know, sometimes we got to report things that are negative. You know, I mean, we're not going to be Pollyannas about it. And for years and years, like, you know, when I was just an employee at Gene's Page before I owned the whole thing, I'll give you a little brief history lesson. You know, basically, and love Gene to death, I do, but Gene always avoided negative news at every turn. He'd say, let's just let the Clarion Ledger have that. My opinion's always been is that bad news is better received from us than it is the Clarion Ledger. We never take any glee in the misfortune of others, especially people that wear the maroon and white. But there is an obligation that we have to report on such things. And people are like, oh, you shouldn't say that. Guys, when it's a matter of public record, we have a duty and a responsibility to acknowledge it. We didn't get anybody in trouble. Simple as that. You know, when I got arrested, they ran my picture on the front page of the paper. It's true. I wasn't just buried in a jail docket out there. They wrote a column. You know, we all should be held accountable for all things good and bad. Which brings us to our number one song, which is kind of interesting. It's kind of in the same vein of that Dixie Chicks song, I guess another just the Chicks, about Earl, right, about Earl. The song called Kill Bill. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it's a little bit crazy. I mean, it really is. It is Sia's most popular song. Sia is a much different artist. I mean, we should do a Sia list, Roy. But Sia wrote this song. It's about her ex and, talks about killing her ex and his new girlfriend, too, and things like that. And again, it's all kind of tongue-in-cheek. But, yeah, it's a little bit dark. It is, but it's a very popular song, and there are a lot of people out there that don't handle breakups well. I've always been one of those kind of person that even if I'm hurting, like I wouldn't want the other person to have the satisfaction of knowing that I'm hurting. And years ago, I had an ex-girlfriend tell me, well, you act like I didn't mean anything to you. I was like, well, you did, but you changed your role within my life. I have just simply found a way to move on with that quicker than you. You know, that's just how life works. And I had some friends of mine years ago. They used to call me Baskin and Robbins because it was a flavor of the month club. But I had a buddy of mine told me, he goes, he's never seen anybody as cold as me. Like when a relationship is over, I can turn it off pretty quick. And the thing that I've always asked myself is, does that mean, is there some truth to the invalidity to that, that maybe that person didn't mean as much to me as maybe at one time I believed? And the fun thing about that, I think when you get to this point in life, you kind of look back and you ask yourself, you know, it's like, if I never think about them, do they ever really matter? There's so much of that. You know, so many times in my life, before I got married, obviously, that I just needed somebody to hang out with and spend time with. It didn't mean that there was a real romantic connection. And I think that happens a lot when you're young. You know, you just don't want to be alone. So you find somebody of convenience. And then you find somebody else and find somebody else and find somebody else and find somebody else. And eventually you find the right one. But, you know, life and love are tough. They truly are. But I'm not writing any songs about killing my exes. But, you know, one of the most famous Guns N' Roses songs of all time is I Used to Love Her. I used to love her, but I had to kill her. And she's buried right in my backyard. And the song actually was inspired for Axl Rose having to put a dog of his out of misery. You know, at least that's a story they tell nowadays. It's a, you know, people have a revisionist history, but all that understood, I don't want you to go out there and get yourself in any trouble over any relationships. I know that there's relationships out there, especially when you are the one that's truly committed and you're the person that got broken up with or cheated on or whatever. It makes you feel absolutely worthless. It absolutely does. There's nothing worse than that, than somebody to basically treat you like that you were just an also-ran, or you know, you were an accessory in their life, or perhaps a tourist in their life. I mean, that's just kind of part of the deal. It sucks, man. It does. When you're so emotionally invested in somebody else and you think that, hey, this is where we are and we're in one accord, and then you find out that person doesn't feel the same way that you do about them, it's tough. It is. Unrequited love is painful. It's like, I can't remember who sang it. I was thinking about this the other day. I got the earworm. It's like, you know, what's more painful, hanging on or letting go? It's tough, but letting go sometimes is healthier, because if you're hanging on in a losing battle, you're only hurting yourself. It's true. Absolutely true. And you're not going to pitiful your way back into the good graces of somebody else. And not to mention, you know, it's like I wrote about this in When the Bottom Falls. And I was living with this girl that she was a couple years older than me. But we were living together, and I met her in drug rehab, of all places. I mean, what could go wrong, right? And there was one time she wanted to go out. Let's go get married. Let's go to the Justice of Peace and get married. And I thought, you know, she had been married before. Didn't work out. It was a bad relationship. But, you know, my – and I may feel differently now. I mean, God forbid if I'm ever single again. But I never wanted to be anybody's second choice. And I didn't want anybody doing me any favors. And I still feel that way. Don't ever do me any favors. When it comes to, you know, relationships, this is not how I feel. You know, if you don't feel it, then you don't feel it. But be honest about it. Don't sit here and string me along and let me buy dinner all the time. And then, you know, you've got one foot out the door already making plans for the post-breakup, you know, get together. I mean, come on. That's how I feel. The world would be a lot better place if everybody could just be honest. And I don't know why we can't be. And it's interesting. I have had that discussion recently with some other people, really about recovery and things like that. I had somebody tell me, you know, Steve, you're kind of an intense person. And there's probably some truth to that. But I think a lot of it is just because I'm willing to tell you the truth. Even when I was a drunk, I mean, I was the kind of person, you want to know exactly what I thought about you? Give me a drink. Buy me a beer. I'll tell you exactly what I think about you and everybody around you, you know. And nowadays that I'm sober, I'll still do that. I just got a little more tact, you know. But I hope the people that you love you back just as much, if not more. I truly do. I hope the people that you love are loving you back and not conspiring against you. You know, I share these things before, like on Facebook and social media, but man, I've been lied to and conspired against and cheated on. All that stuff's happened to me. And so if it's happened to you or it's happening to you, I can assure you, you will live. You will live. You'll find a way to make it. You will. It changes you as a person, in some ways good, in some ways bad, but it does change you. You just got to make sure that the change that you experience is not one that extinguishes your twinkle in life. So there we go. That's your top 10 list for today. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Samanti. And you know what? If you find one that we hadn't done and you want to make a submission, we might just use yours on the show, especially if it's a newer pop act or something like that. But we want to be as open-minded as possible about music. I mean, not everything is going to be hair metal, right? And so we're not opposed to that. So we thank Elsa for her contribution to the show. You can find Roy on Twitter at Dogmatic67. That's DawgMatic67. You can find our great list on Spotify on that same handle. And I'm on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart. I love Campus Bookmart. I have for a long time. I buy all of my Mississippi State merchandise there. Rather than go on Amazon and support some national company, let me always encourage you to support local business. And if you don't get here very often, you can still support Starkville. Right? You can. You love this place. How many times do we have a business here that decides to close their doors for one reason or another? You're like, oh man, I wish I would have known. Well, let's keep Starkville thriving. So if you live out of state, shop online in Starkville, and you can shop Campus Bookmart at campusbookmart.net. They've always been there for you. They always will be. Nobody doing a better job outfitting our families, our homes, our fan caves, our automobiles with the latest in Mississippi State merchandise. Come by and see their smiling faces. If you can't make the town, again, campusbookmart.net, promo code BSR. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Of course, BSR stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. Easy to remember. Campus Bookmart, a longtime sponsor of the show, proud to partner with such a great organization all these many years. All right, let's take a look back at the week that has been so far. I don't know if you guys have kept up with this, but we had some games Tuesday night and some on Wednesday night. So let me get you up to speed. Florida ends up in a bit of a tussle with Florida Atlantic. And again, we look back at that Florida series and say, man, what could have been? What could have been? We should have taken that series and possibly swept. They're 23-21 overall, 9-12 in the league. They get by 22-20 Florida Atlantic, 10-8, and give up 14 hits in the ballgame. Of course, midweeks have been an adventure for Florida. And people say midweeks don't matter. Well, yeah, it does matter, because the NCAA D1 Baseball Committee recently said don't be canceling games to save your RPI. An upset of the number 3 team in the country, Tennessee, to Lipscomb. Lipscomb was picked to win the Atlantic Sun Conference. They're 16-27 this year, and they picked up a 9-6 win over Tennessee in Knoxville. There at Lindsey Nelson Stadium, Tennessee adds a run there in the ninth, but nothing really fluky about it. It's so crazy. Tennessee led this game 4-1 after two, and then Lipscomb scored the next four innings, adding on six runs to kind of put this thing away. And then with two big runs there in the eighth, gave themselves some breathing room, and they win. So big win there for Lipscomb. Georgia traveled to Kennesaw State. This really wasn't much of a game. It was a 7-0 game midway through the fourth, and Kennesaw added a run. And then Georgia just kind of continued to tack on. Kennesaw State scores two in the ninth to make the score look a little more respectable at 9-3. But it really wasn't a game. And, you know, Charlie Condon's now hit 30 home runs. How about that? All right, Texas A&M, 10-6 winners over Tarleton State. Tarleton State, kind of a familiar foe for our Western most teams in our conference. But A&M just took care of business. They're 39-6 now. Yeah, think about that for a second. 39-6. We're 30-15. Nine games between us and the number one team in the country. And again, you can go back and find those nine games in the schedule. The Bulldogs probably should have won. And of course, the Aggies racked up a really good record in non-conference play. Got into conference play, and we thought, well, they'll come back to earth. They did initially, but 15-6 right now. Missouri takes care of Lindenwood. Missouri, a losing record in the conference right now. 20-26 overall, 6-15. 13-1 winners in seven innings. A nine-run fourth kind of proved to be the separating factor in that ballgame as they take down Lindenwood, who's 14-30 on the year. Vanderbilt and Tennessee Tech, that turned out to be a barn burner of a game. The Golden Eagles, our friends from winning that regional in Oxford here a few years back. Guys, this thing went 11 innings. And Vanderbilt had to come from behind in this ballgame. You look up midway through the sixth, it is a 6-1 ball game in favor of the Golden Eagles. And Vanderbilt, like they did with us, they storm back. They score six to take the lead there in the seventh. It's a 7-6 ball game. Tennessee Tech ties it in the ninth. And then Vandy walks it off in the 11th. 8-7 winners. Tennessee Tech also four errors in the ball game too. Kind of paving the way there a little bit for Vanderbilt's comeback. Pretty incredible. LSU all over Grambling, 26-12, a 13-run fourth inning. Kind of allowed this one to kind of get out of hand. You fully expect that, but it goes just seven innings as it should. But 17 hits for the Tigers. LSU 29-17. Maybe you've seen Jay Johnson's comments. He recently said in any other league they would be the first place team. Now, Jay, I have some news for you. I don't think that's correct, because you still got to trot those same weekend pitchers out there, whether you're in the Big 12 or the ACC or the Pac-2, whatever we're calling it these days. So, no, I don't agree with that assessment. LSU 7-14 in the SEC this year. I think it's a good year in the league. I don't think it's a great year. I think you've got some really good teams, a lot of parity in this league. And I think LSU is also kind of suffering a little bit from their commitment to the portal. What I mean by that is it is difficult to build a cohesive team with mercenaries. When LSU won the NAFL championship last year, they went out and got a couple players to kind of supplement where they were. They still had Dylan Cruz. You know, it's not like they just went out there and put together an all-star team. They did go add Tommy White, but as you see this year, Tommy White, not enough to carry this team. You've got to have some players around you that are committed to your program. And so I think the approach last year was probably the best one, and I think they got a little punch drunk on that and had so many guys leaving and said, no big deal, we'll just go in the portal. It just hasn't come together. Now, that understood, I do think LSU will make a charge late in this deal and probably end up in a regional somewhere. I know some other people are like, how could they be on the bubble? When you look at their remaining schedule, they got a really good chance to put some wins together here. But 7-14 right now. 7-14. Got a lot of games you got to win, Tigers. You do. I do think they'll make it interesting, though. I do. And, you know, maybe we should look at the LSU baseball schedule. Maybe we should, just for fun. Now, it's going to be a tall weekend. Yeah, because they're going to be hosting Texas A&M. Could they get a game? Maybe. Are they taking this series? No, I don't think so. And we're going to preview the weekend more on Friday. But the next weekend, they go to Alabama. With Alabama's pitching concerns and LSU's offensive prowess, that may be a series they can get. And then they host Ole Miss in the final series of the year. So LSU probably going to need to win a game or two in the tournament. But they always seem to find a way in the tournament to make it interesting. It just always seems to kind of work out that way. But we'll see. Arkansas, Missouri State wrapped up a two-game midweek set. The Tuesday game went the way of the Razorbacks, 12-7. And then they come back last night and win 8-5. Razorbacks now 39-7 overall, ranked number 2 in the country, 16-5 in the conference. And again, you look at our numbers, 12-9, right? I mean, we're running out of time. We're not going to catch them. But you begin to look at this thing and you begin to see, you know what? Maybe Mississippi State is better than the record indicates. South Carolina, 15-2 winners over East Tennessee State. It was a tussle for a while. East Tennessee State jumps out to a 2-0 lead. South Carolina comes back and then basically never looks back. 8 runs there in the fourth inning to make it a 15-2 ball game. And, of course, we've already recapped the Mississippi State 5-1 win over Ole Miss. But going to have a series starting tonight for those of you looking for some college baseball. And chances are you will be. Not a lot on these days. I guess if you're an NBA fan, you got plenty to watch these days with the playoffs. But if you're a baseball fan, college baseball is probably the thing to watch right now. Tennessee and Florida will get underway tonight. That's a 6 p.m. Central start time down at Condren Family Park. They're on the campus of University of Florida. Tennessee will go in there and I suspect win the series. But that'll be interesting tonight to see how Tennessee pitches Caglione. And if you haven't had a chance to watch them since they've played Mississippi State, maybe you're a Mississippi State-centric person, so you don't watch the rest of the league until they're playing us, unless you're watching Ole Miss lose. But could be interesting. Could be an interesting ball game. And again, it's interesting that Florida hadn't done better pitching-wise. But that is the long series that's going to get underway this weekend. Let's take a quick look, too, at the standings as we get ready to go in. Kentucky and Arkansas still lead the league at 16-5. Tennessee and A&M both a game back. And you feel like Tennessee and A&M should win their weekend series. So it puts a little pressure on the front runners. Mississippi State in sole possession of fifth place in the league. We would be the number 5 seed right now. So you would play a 5-12 game. And right now, that would be Ole Miss. We haven't played them a lot in the SEC tournament, but that would be interesting if they make it in. If not, it could be LSU. Right? Could be. We'll see how things go. That last weekend is going to be important for the final seeding. And South Carolina, Vanderbilt at 11-10, tied for sixth. Georgia at 10-11. And then you get to Florida at 9-12. Guys, there's not another West team that has a winning record after us. Alabama 9-12, LSU 7-14, Ole Miss 7-14, Auburn 3-18. And you start looking at trends. For those of you that have not kept up, in the last 10 ball games, Mississippi State is 8-2, which is tied for the best mark in the Southeastern Conference since then. We're tied with A&M, Arkansas, and Tennessee, 8-2. So we're playing our best baseball of the year right now as we hit the month of May. And so that's kind of how I see where we are. And again, a favorable series this weekend we got to take full advantage of. We'll preview that as we get into tomorrow's show. But I wanted to look to just kind of where things stand, you know, where State kind of ranks in the SEC. Now, Mississippi State currently hitting 281. We're 7 points behind LSU, but we're right there in the meaty part of the curve. Tennessee leads the league at 324, then A&M at 315. Alabama hit 311. It's an offensive matchup that we're going to have to go out there and kind of keep them off the bases. They do swing it pretty well. They don't pitch it well at all, but they do swing it pretty well. On the pitching side of things, Arkansas leads the SEC with a 3.12 ERA. A&M second at 387 with those two big left-handers on the weekends. Tennessee is 392, and then number four in the Southeastern Conference, your Bulldogs at 4.13. Dipping down to the bottom there, Ole Miss 6-1-9, and in last place is Florida 6-2-3. And again, we're going to lament that series loss the entire year. We are, maybe in the years to come. As of today, your Mississippi State Bulldogs lead the Southeastern Conference. We're tied with Arkansas with a leading fielding percentage. So that, one of the best defensive teams in the country. 9.82 is your fielding percentage for the Bulldogs. And just in case you're curious, Mississippi State right now, fourth in the United States for college baseball in fielding percentage. You remember how bad defensive play was for us last year? I told you guys after the fall that the place that I thought we had made the most strides were defensive. And the Bulldogs are kind of backing that up for us. Notre Dame, which is not in any way atypical, leads the nation at a 9.84. So you're 0.02 of a percentage point away from being tied for number one in the country. Yeah, let that sink in. Think about how far we've come. It's absolutely incredible. We're not a team that goes out there and boots it around. And we do make an error sometimes. It feels like the end of the world. We've made some errors at times that have extended innings and cost us runs. But we have done a great job improving things defensively. I give Logan Kohler and Dave Marchand a tremendous amount of credit for that. Bulldogs have made just 28 errors on the year, and that seems like too many, right? But Notre Dame, the number one team in the country, is allowed 25. Yeah, that's how close it is between us and first place defensively. So really good effort from your Bulldogs. Individual batting numbers, Charlie Condon still leads the Southeastern Conference with a .456 batting average. And we start talking about, you know, the whole deal with Triple Crowns, right? Well, Condon leads Caglione by four home runs. But when you get into RBIs, Braden Montgomery is 10 up on Charlie Condon. That's where he's going to have some help. Got to have some guys on him in front to be able to kind of catch Braden Montgomery. So Triple Crown watch is still a real thing. Individual pitching numbers, Hagan Smith leads the Southeastern Conference at 1.35 ERA. 8-0 in the year. 111 strikeouts to 23 walks. And there's really nobody close to him from a strikeout standpoint. That's when you can win Friday night and you have a guy that can work deep into ball games and Smith's going about six innings per, it makes a big difference. Second and third when it comes to ERA, even Aschenbach, primary reliever at 8 a.m., and then Ryan Prager, the Friday night starter. They've got a combined record of 12-0. Aschenbach has 7 saves to go along with that. So he's been a factor in 11 wins for them. Cal Steven, the Bulldog, 6th in the SEC in a 2.77 ERA. 6-3 record. And there were some people that thought, well, maybe Steven could be the Sunday guy. He's proven to be the Friday night guy, and here he is competing against some of the best pitchers in the country and holding his own. Greg Farrell is a guy that we'll see this weekend. Former midweek guy has transitioned to a weekend role for Alabama. He's just behind Cal with a 3.10 ERA, 4.41 record. But, again, be interesting dynamic seeing him on the hill at Duty Noble Field. Pretty significant, right? You start running things down here. But we talked about the RBI race. Guys, right there in fourth place is Dakota Jordan with 55. Now, he's not going to catch Braden Montgomery. You know, if he does, that would be incredible. But, yeah, you mentioned the names Braden Montgomery, Charlie Condon, Jace Laviolette, and Jack Caglione. People go, oh, yeah, those guys are superstars. Well, Dakota Jordan's right there with them from a run-producing standpoint. That's pretty impressive. And to hear some of our fans tell it, you know, he's just kind of an average player. Well, he's not. That guy's having a good year and had a really good approach last night. I don't think there's any question about that. Dave Marchand, now second in the Southeastern Conference in stolen bases, 20 of 22, still trailing Cooper Weiss, who has 26. I don't know that we catch him. But Marchand tied there for second place with R.J. Austin from Vanderbilt, who I thought had a really good series against us, and Emilian Petre from Kentucky. But, yeah, so we got some Bulldogs in the leaders individually, and, of course, team numbers are looking better. Offensively, we need to pick it up a little bit. We've all said that. You know, it's not some big, hot take or something. But when you look at the fact that the schedule's kind of evening up a little bit for us, you know, in the second half like we expected it to, we knew if we could survive those first three weekends, and we were even thinking, man, if we can go 3-6 the first three weekends, we're probably okay. Well, we get through it 4-5 and should have had an even better record. But we've gotten fat here in the middle of the schedule. Now it's time to kind of close this thing out. And I think that's where every Bulldog fan, many of the fence sitters have kind of been scared to believe, and especially after losing that series at Ole Miss. But now we've rebounded and won the Governor's game, and a game that we absolutely had to have. And you say, but Steve, it's not a conference game. Well, you know, you lose it, it really hurts your RPI. And we just can't afford any more midweek losses. And let's take a quick look at RPI. Mississippi State now in the top 25 of RPI, just ahead of Oklahoma State. Just a couple spots ahead of us is Vanderbilt. And to be honest with you, the better they do, the better it is for us. So we're kind of rooting for them to continue winning. And what's crazy is Florida's, you know, record's almost at 500. They have an RPI of 18. Alabama, of course, 15 in RPI. And so we can kind of take matters in our own hands. Guys, Georgia has an RPI of 9. You know, so, you know, the hotter Georgia gets, the better it is for Mississippi State. We don't play Kentucky, but A&M's got the number one RPI, as they probably should. But we have some teams ahead of us that we have played and defeated that can help bring us along with them. So the higher they climb, the higher we climb. And so that's an important aspect of it. I remember just a week ago, 2 weeks ago, people were like, with our RPI, we have no chance. Probably need to get to 15 wins. Well, we still need to do that. But the RPI is now kind of coming into focus. And I've said before, there's really not a lot of use in looking at RPI until we really kind of get to the second half of the SEC schedule. And because of the league that we play in, it kind of takes care of itself. You just need to win games. I mean, you're not going to pencil whip your way into a top eight national seed. And we're not going to be a top eight national seed either. I'm just hoping we can host. Beginning of the year, I was hoping we could make the tournament, perhaps win a regional. Now I'm starting to get a little greedier. Now I'm starting to think, hey, you know, I look at this whole thing here. We pick up 3 wins against Alabama, which I'm not expecting. But let's just say you win the weekend. Well, that should pull you into the top 20. So you're in the teens. And you start looking at these teams ahead of you. You know, some of these teams don't have the conference record that would suggest that they should be able to host. You know, Florida being one of those. Florida's not going to host, but yet they're ahead of us in the RPI. Alabama, unless they get absolutely hot down the stretch, they're not going to host, but they're ahead of us in the RPI. And so you put yourself, you get a teen RPI, and the traffic kind of takes care of itself. It's incredible to think about how far we've come. I mean, it truly is. And again, there's some people out there that are just like, well, you know, guys, don't listen to that noise. Just don't let somebody deprive you of the joy of enjoying college baseball season, because everybody, with rare exception, was hoping we would have a turnaround this year, and we've had one. And now let's go finish the deal. And I like the grit and confidence that I'm seeing from Chris Simonis these days. You know, Sunday, of course, you know, was a big day for him. He's like, you know, our goal is to go host. You know, remember this time last year? Post-game, we're trying to get to Hoover. Yeah, we've acknowledged the fact that, you know, Hoover is the minimum standard. But now it's like, hey, we're not just satisfied to make it to Hoover. We're not just satisfied to be in the tournament. We want to go host. That should always be our goal. And it's so interesting, too. Let's really look at the history of Mississippi State hosting since they changed the format. That was the big thing when they added the Supers back in 99. So in 99, we went to Columbus, Ohio, and we didn't win a regional. We went up there, but we didn't win. And that was a Pat McMahon team that went 42-21, 15-13 in the SEC. We won two games in a regional, and we finished second, got beat in a regional final. In 2000, we hosted. And we won. I had to go play in a super regional, and we lost. 2001, back in Ohio again. How about that? That was a long trip. Had to do it twice, you know. But Columbus, Ohio, that was a crazy one too. We had to beat Kent State, a 1-4 game. We had to win that game in 10 innings. Ironically, Delaware beat Ohio State in 10 innings. How cool was that? But, yeah, we advance, you know, from 01 and didn't make tournament in 02. In 03, Polk is back, obviously, second year with him. And we end up hosting in 03, and we lose the regional. 2004, we go to Georgia Tech, and we go 1-2. And then 2005, we head down to Miami, finish second in the regional. 2006, we go to Clemson, finish second in the regional. 2007, we go to Florida State, we win the regional and eventually go away to Omaha. 2008, no tournament. 2009, no tournament. 2010, no tournament. That includes the SEC tournament. 2011, we're back, year three under John Cohen, and we go win a regional at Georgia Tech. 2012, regional at Florida State, didn't work out for us. We finished third and won one game. 2013, of course, you know, that was a great year for us. We host and then make our way on and beat, win our way all the way to Omaha and get there and play for the NAFL Championship, finish second in the country that year. 2014, we head to UL Lafayette for a regional, finish second in a regional final. Don't make tournament in 15. In 16, we hosted, of course, lost in the Super Regional to Arizona. Still not over that. 17, we go down with Canizero to Southern Miss and win the regional there and then lose it up to LSU in the Super. 2018, on the road again. Florida State, the Elijah McNamee thing, right? We win that, beat Vandy in the Super, and finish third in the country. 2019, first year under Lamonos, we won 52 games in 2019. Pretty crazy, right? Of course, you host, you win your Super, and you go on to Omaha, and the end of the Jake Mangum era occurs. You know, we let a lead get away from us against Louisville. But Vandy was the best team in the country that year. 2020, of course, there's no season. In 21, we host a regional here and make to be good friends with our friends, the Fighting Camels of Campbell. Win the Super against Notre Dame and then go win an NAFL championship. And of course, we hadn't been since then. So I say that because let's do the math here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So since they changed the format in 99, we have hosted a regional 5 times. What, Steve? That can't be right. I just ran it back for you. It's true. It's true. And 3 of those regionals have come in pretty quick succession here. You know, so we have 5 regionals since they changed the format. And it's so interesting when you kind of work your way through all this, too. You know, those that one in 2000, that's Pat McMahon. the second run of Polk, we hosted a regional once. Steve, no. Yes. 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 It's true. We don't like to talk about it, but it's true. And you know, we beat Middle Tennessee State and ended up losing to North Carolina. I was there. Many of you were too. So, you know, Polk 2.0, we hosted one regional. And so I'm pausing for emphasis sake here because I think this is something that maybe we haven't done the research on. So of these five, right, you start running them down here and you begin to realize, okay, one of those was McMahon. Of course, you know, we had a couple with Cohen and one with Polk and, you know, a couple with John Cohen and Lamontas, excuse me. And so, guys, there's nobody that loves Mississippi State baseball more than me. There's a lot of people that love it as much as me, but I want you to understand how important it is for us, number one, to make a regional and host here at Dirty Noble Field. And, you know, it's not like the old days and we could just, you know, put a bid in and NCAA come in and run their tournament here and everybody make a bunch of money. It's just, it's not like that anymore. It's all very merit-based. And so it's not just because we have the biggest venue. But the way this thing kind of rolls out here, you start thinking here in hindsight, it's like, okay, well, you know, when we start working through this thing with Lamontas, guys, if we make a regional this year, that'd be the most regionals under any coach since the format changed in 99. I'm just saying, these are the numbers. You say, but Steve, no, but you. And so, you know, my honest opinion is I think we've got the right coach. I think we lost our way a little bit. And while he may never admit it, I believe that we were probably a little bit too reluctant after the NAFL championship year to shake up the roster some. It's like, you know, we all want a NAFL championship, and I don't want to be the guy that runs these kids off, that we're part of that, even if they're not going to contribute. He'll never admit that, but I believe there was some of that. And, of course, you had the injuries on top of that. And, of course, he had to make a difficult decision last year and move on from Scott Foxhall, a guy he's known forever. And it's probably something he'll never get over, but it's what he had to do for Mississippi State baseball as well as his own career. And he goes out and hires Justin Parker. He lured him away from South Carolina, and I made this point earlier today on the message board. Guys, Justin Parker came here knowing that Chris Lamontas is on the hot seat. He could have skated at South Carolina. He was completely secure at South Carolina. His family loved it there. Nobody was going to run Justin Parker off. He could have sat there and been great, but he took a chance, and I think Chris Lamontas deserves to be praised for being able to pull that off because Justin Parker may be the most important and most impressive assistant coaching hire in the country this year when you look at the transformation of this pitching staff. And there's still room to grow. Think about that for a second. You know, what's this pitching staff going to look like next year and in 2 years when Justin Parker's had a chance to get his guys to do things his way and guys that have kind of come along under his tutelage? Hopefully we can hang on to them, right? All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and when you do, their Facebook page will come up. It's open, so you can peruse the pictures and get a good look. And you know, hey, if you just want to go by and check it out, make an appointment. Reach out to them. You can book through Airbnb. You can book through VRBO. However, if you book through the Evolve website, I can save you 10%. That's BSR10. Gets you 10% off your stay. You know, we don't have it like y'all. You give me a promo code, I'm going to use it, right? You could pay more for it, but why would you want to, right? It's the same place. Five bedrooms, that great wet bar, if that's your thing. Full service kitchen. You can stock the fridge. You can cook all weekend. Keep your expenses down a little bit. That huge back porch. You have to see it to believe it. Also, the fire pit area. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. So you can do all your tailgating right there. Right? Instead of having to pack up all that stuff, you can just stay at the place and it's time to go to the game. Get in the car and go. It's just so much more convenient. And whether you're bringing a work group to town, maybe it's a Maybe it's a staycation. Maybe you live here in Starkville and you want to bring everybody in. Your house isn't big enough to entertain all your guests. Make a full weekend out of it. Yeah, it's cool. Whether it's the guys' weekend, girls' weekend, maybe a couple's weekend. Wouldn't that be a great thing? Maybe you're an empty nesters convention. I don't know what you want to do. I don't know your needs, but I know this. They can be fulfilled at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Be sure and check it out today. All right, let's talk a little football recruiting here while we're together. State picked up a big commitment. Of course, our second running back commitment is we did have one leave to go to Colorado. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I would want to go to Colorado. I love Colorado. I do. Beautiful country up there. But I just don't know that I would want to go up there into that climate. You know, you saw Deion Sanders kind of – there was a kid quoted in an article by The Athletic. And listen, the guy hadn't been a great player, okay? So he probably wasn't a Power 5 guy. But for a Power 5 coach to go out there on Twitter and be critical of a student athlete, I think is unbecoming. But nevertheless – Rashad Amos can go up there. I hope he has a good year. But Devon Booth, former Utah State running back, JUCO product out of the California system. He has some people in Vegas. We were a little bit worried about Arizona because of geography. But nevertheless, he is now a Bulldog. Had 120 carries for 805 yards last year, 6 touchdowns. Both of those marks led the team. 12 receptions for 50 yards. Going to be a little more involved in the passing game here. But that's a good commitment for Mississippi State. And, of course, State also got some other visitors heading in. We're only down a couple of spots left to fill. You know, I've checked on this. I hadn't followed up today. As I told you guys, I didn't feel well. But I haven't followed up today. But all that understood, we did not have any late defections. There was a talk about a walk-on maybe going in late, and not exactly sure what he ended up doing. But no more scholarships to fill through outgoing traffic. I think that's an important thing to kind of understand as we get into all of this stuff. You know, it's easy to get caught up in the hyperbole of it all and say, you know what, hey, we need this, we need that. We really need an edge. And that's something that we chased in December and just couldn't find a guy that that we felt good about that could play in this league. We probably could have went and got a roster filler, but that didn't make us a better ball team. But by Job, former 4-star, nearly a 5-star, out of Norman, Oklahoma, signed on with Michigan State. He's set to officially visit Mississippi State this weekend. That's a big one right there if you get him. Trent Hudson's a wide receiver from New Mexico State. Also got some connections through Cliff Odom. Also expected and still kind of working through the corners aspect of it. We'd like to get another corner, former TCU corner. I think Andre Seldon has gone into the portal. Was at New Mexico State prior to going to TCU. So that's where things stand there too. And, of course, recently we picked up the big commitment of Trevion Williams, a guy that we've talked about extensively on the show. He's a guy I've been expecting to commit since he got the offer. Tyshawn Willis, outstanding player. And you start working through all this and you begin to realize that when you look at the linebacker room and you got A.J. Rice and Tyshawn Willis already committed and you're expected to get Tyler Lockhart, that could be as good as a linebacker core in the South, to be quite honest with you, from an athletic standpoint. But you start working through the final stages of 2024. You know, Wilkie Donat is the guy that transferred in from Auburn. He's already gone back into the portal. So that's an aspect of things that probably going to become a bigger deal as we kind of move forward. But the reality of it is that the portal is now closed, so there is no more outgoing traffic. Now there'll be a little more incoming traffic, and we'll close the book on 2024. Most of your football team was already here for spring practice. We'll add a few other pieces and then get ready for fall camp. Of course, those guys will be making the move here. You know, finals week is this week, so a lot of people wrapping up finals will begin making their plans for their move, getting their housing lined up and things of that nature, and then they'll be here. But I still feel good about Tyler Lockhart. Caleb Cunningham, 5-star receiver from just down the road at Ackerman at Choctaw County High School. that's going to go much longer in the process. And, of course, with NIL involved and all this stuff too, you know, many of these kids are kind of smart to wait it out. But business, I expect, will pick up a good bit commitment-wise once we get into the month of June and certainly July, because you're going to have, you know, the prospect camps. You're going to have guys here, you know, working out with your coaches. You're going to have some guys that get new offers. You're going to have guys, too, that are have already made their spring travels, and they're like, you know, I just want to go spend some time with the coaches, and I want to get this done before my senior year. And this time last year, we'd had a rash of in-state commitments between State and Ole Miss. It's been a little slower this year. I think some of that, too, is I don't think State and Ole Miss are pushing a lot of kids. There are some kids that are no-brainers, and obviously you're on them constantly. There's some others out there you probably want to slow play a little bit so you can see them in a spring evaluation period or see them in your camp and have a chance to work them out. That's always something to consider, too. I like our in-state talent pool, but there are a lot of guys that are kind of similarly situated. So in order to break the tie with those guys, I think you got to see them in person. I do. And again, I think you're going to see a very busy summer on the recruiting trail. I've got a lot of faith in Jeff Lebby and the staff. What they did in a very short time is just absolutely remarkable. Basically, 50% of your roster is brand new players. And of course, with high school graduations coming up and finishing up, you're going to have another 9 players that have signed their national letters of intent that did not participate in spring practice that will come and be a part of things for summer workouts. And they'll be here for that first session at summer school. Most will be. There may be some that have to come the second session. You never know how the NCAA clearinghouse is going to get all that done. I remember years ago it was such a rare thing for us to get a guy for the first session of summer school, and now you got guys showing up for spring practice, you know, graduating high school earlier. Times have changed. They certainly have. And a lot of things out there kind of going on with NIL in a transfer portal. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but there is a school of thought out there that kind of goes back to what we talked about in the infancy of NIL. It's going to go in-house, and you're going to be able to have schools kind of broker these deals. And so that means you'll probably have to have some additional staff and people to handle that sort of stuff. And guys will sign contracts, and ladies. And so part of the proposal that's kind of making its way around is that you're going to have people that say, hey, part of your contract's to play in the bowl game. If part of your contract is you're not going to transfer out this year. Now, you can do it at the end of the season, but you would be with us, you know, through that. And so I think that provides some assurances for coaches and fans of kind of who they can and can't count on, because every year you hear about these bowl games and guys opting out and things of that nature. And you don't see a lot of guys opting out when it comes to baseball or basketball. And it's because of the fact if you make a tournament, you still have a chance to win something of significance. And there are a lot of people that say, hey, if I'm not competing for a championship in football, the bowl game is essentially an exhibition, so I'm not going to run the risk of damaging myself or my future by playing in a game that doesn't mean a whole lot. Well, it means a lot to the fans. And so I think that's a part of this proposal that will probably pass. But we're still kind of navigating through the wilderness, but I think it's pretty safe to say that some sanity may be on the horizon. It's true. Of course, there'll be a ton of litigation. You know, there always is. It's all part of the deal. We hope to see this weekend out at Duty Noble Field as the Bulldogs get ready to take on Alabama. Game time's 6:02-1. So 6 p.m., all games broadcast on the ESPN, you know, the worldwide leader of sports platforms. And so you'll be able to stream those games and also listen to them on the Bulldog Baseball Radio Network. Our guys do such a great job with that. And if you hadn't been to winandbottomfalls.com, let me encourage you. Mother's Day, Father's Day, both coming up. And maybe you've got a reader or a Bulldog collector, you know, and you can get Wind to Bottom Falls, which is my latest book. And then pretty soon, hopefully this month, you'll be able to pre-order the newest book, The Dude. All my sports titles also available on that same website. All those URLs go to the same place, right? So you don't have to remember that. Just go to WindToBottomFalls.com. So if you're looking for Flim Flam or Stark Villains or Alpha Dogs, Dog Pile, and of course, Wind to Bottom Falls, you can find it there. And True Rest, of course, that's mine and Dana's new business, and things are going really, really well. And it's been so rewarding to have so many great reviews, some people that are seeing some benefit from floating. A lot of people say, Steve, I can float in my bathtub or my pool. Well, you can, but not quite like this. You're floating on 1,200 pounds of Epsom salt, and you float on top of the water because you're so buoyant. And it gives your body a chance to have kind of a gravity-free environment. And so if you got back trouble or neck trouble, shoulder trouble, hip trouble, it may be something that could work for you. And of course, if you struggle with anxiety or just simply need a break, let us help you with that. Dial 662-268-7601. And we're running a special right now for Mother's Day, 2-for-1 gift cards. Yeah, so basically $45 a piece. So you can buy one for your mom, one for your mother-in-law. Let them both come enjoy a nice time. And I think what you're going to find is that it brings you a state of comfort and relaxation you never had before. How about that? That's true rest of Starkville. Always come join us over at jeanspage.com. But we're going to go ahead and get out of here. It's been a long. It's taken me a while to do this show because I've had to take some breaks. Again, I'm on the back end of this thing, but I'll be 100% come game time tomorrow. So be sure and look for all of our content of the important SEC series between Mississippi State and Alabama over at jeanspage.com. And of course, next week I'll be headed out to Arkansas. Yeah, we get out and go, man. We do. We've got an obligation to you guys to do that. You know, not going to sit at home and play the fake insider thing. We're going to get out and actually go cover the team, even when they leave town. But until next time, it's all of our lives, and away we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.